Okay, we're gonna get started here, folks. Welcome back, everybody. I just want to remind everybody that the shiurim for the month of Teves are sponsored by Sandra Finkelstein in honor of the wedding anniversary, 61st wedding anniversary of her parents, I think, and also the birthday of her son, Isaac. They should, Mirtz Hashem, all have all the brachas they're looking for in the world, God willing. And a special mention that we should dedicate the learning of the shiur today for Refuah Shleima, for our friend Yaakov, Jeff Dabrowski's mother. Mirtz Hashem, she should have a Refuah Shleima Bekarev completely. And also a Refuah Shleima for Tinok Ben Masha Malka.
Miriam
Bas Freda is Yaakov's mother. She should have a Refuah Shleima, Mirtz Hashem. Mirtz Hashem. And and thanks to Sandra for sponsoring for the month. Welcome everybody in person and online. And let's get going. Here we go. The tea is over here, by the way, guys, if you'd like. Oh, 1 second. No, no, no. You can sit.
1 second. I just forgot to get the...
How's it going? What's going on?
She's not good.
I'm just listening to Rabbi Johnson. I feel like
sure. That's why we're here.
There we go.
That's why we're here.
Okay. Anyway, let's get to it. Welcome, everybody. So I'm sorry I started right before everyone walked in, but...
You started this relationship.
Here we go. Okay, so please, if we remember, if you don't mind, Hever, let's hold the questions till the end so we can get through and make sure that we are... that the recording goes well. I'll hopefully take this stuff out of the recording. Okay, so we are we're holding now in Sif Dalet over here. And we got into some good stuff the last few classes. But we're getting into some complicated stuff. We're gonna do our best to hold it together, to try and keep an understanding moving throughout everything we're doing. But of course, we started off this Torah talking about the concept of being a person of hoidah and toidah, thankful person, a person of gratitude, how this leads us to a state of das, which means a state of awareness, connection, knowing, living with Hashem. And just like the fish in the sea, how everything that they do, they're swimming, they're eating, they're breathing, everything comes from the water. The aspect of Olam Haba is going to be a complete awareness, a das, that everything that we have is Hashem. Just like that water. That everything that we get, everything that we experience, everything that comes to us is all Hashem. And that is the aspect of Olam Haba that the Pasuk says is Mala Ha'aretz Deyas Hashem Kamayim Le'yam Achasim. Then we said that this is also an aspect of halacha, Jewish law, which is the way that we live. And how do we experience in this world where we don't get to be attached to Hashem in a physical way, how do we experience closeness to Hashem in this world? Is through knowing Hashem, right? Knowing Hashem, Das. And how do we have Das of Hashem? How do we live with Hashem in this world? It's everything that we do is directed to Hashem. So halacha, Jewish law, in this sense, teaches us that everything that we do, from the moment we wake up in the morning and say Moida Ani and put our right shoe on before our left and eat only kosher food and speak nicely and keep Shabbos and do all these things, every step of my life, every breath I take, every move I make, everything is with Hashem, right? That's Das, and that's halacha. On the one hand. And we also said that halacha is an aspect of chesed, which is kindness, and connected to David HaMelech. And then we said these beautiful ideas that halacha really is not only does halacha teach us about knowing Hashem through the way we behave, but there's also a pattern of halacha. And that pattern of halacha is when I go through a challenge, a tribulation, and through that tribulation, my heart starts pumping, and I get stressed, and the blood is all flooding into my heart, and things are chas v'shalom, right? And then when I get out of that place, and the tribulation is over, I calm down, and the blood flows back. The lashon that Rabbi Nachman says is chozrin hadamim. Chozrim tahaluchas adamim keseder, is that the blood goes back to its regular pathway. Tahaluchas adamim, the flow, the walking, the movement, right? Goes back to regular movement. That's also a concept of halacha, because the word is halacha. The movement of, the regular movement of our life, the regular movement of our blood is called halacha also. And that place, when we come out of there, is a time of thankfulness, of hoidah, of thank you Hashem. But then we said, that's all interesting, but we say chas v'shalom over there all the time when the blood's pumping and we're stressed and we're worried. It's not supposed to be like that, right? And then in Siv Gimel we said that there's another aspect to this, and that is when we come out, before we get there, we also said that the Gemara tells us about Arba Tzrichin Lahoidas, the four aspects of experience that we have that causes us to be thankful. And we said that they correspond to these four experiences of one, going into the sea, the ocean, a seafarer, going into the desert, traveling in the desert, someone who gets sick, really sick, right? And the last one was being in jail. And when we get saved from these things, that's when we're particularly thankful, and we make this blessing of benching goymal. That's when we thank Hashem, right? But we said, why do those things happen in the first place? Why do I have to go through this experience in the first place? Because I am a person who's tzrichin lehoidos. I need to give thanks. Not that it happens that we experience a difficulty and we come out of it and then we need to thank. No, the thing happened to me in the first place because I wasn't with Hashem. I wasn't walking with Hashem. I wasn't living with Hashem. I wasn't thinking about God. I wasn't thanking. I took everything for granted. Right? So therefore, I was in a state of needing to be thankful, needing to be a person of gratitude. Tzrichin lehoidos. So that's where we come out from there. And this all is patterned after the life of David HaMelech. David HaMelech, who was the king of ups and downs, the king literally, but the king of ups and downs. And what did he do through all of his ups and downs? He was always thanking Hashem. He was writing, he's having his tough, difficult times with everything, his son is chasing after him to kill him. All these things are happening, and the whole time he's writing down, oh, Tehillim, thank you Hashem. Right? This is what he's all, Mizmor L'Soida. Thank you Hashem. This is what he did. So the pasuk says that the Gemara said that the halacha kamoisei, the halacha is like David. Not only when he said what the law is, was he right? But the halacha is like him because his whole life is like this. He was the king of ups and downs and coming out the other side and the whole time thanking Hashem, beginning to end. He lived this. This was his life. And then we said, but there's another place where something happens. There's another thing we have to learn. Of all those four Arba Tzrichin Lehoidos, they go through difficult times, and then they come out at the end, and then they thank Hashem. Where does the woman giving birth fit into there? Why does Rabbi Nachman use a woman giving birth as the main example of this? Why? We explained that because this is the case where you see a difference. The woman is the perfect example. Why? Because she's going through a very serious tribulation when she's giving birth, or so I'm told. Right? And it's so powerful. How does she? But like we said, surprisingly, in a couple of years later, she's going to go through it again, and she's excited about it. Right? She went through such a tzara. Where does she get? Why does she go through this tzara? And why is she different from the other guys? The guys in the ocean, the guys in the desert, the guy in jail, the guy who got sick and got married. Why? Why is she different? Because she has a certain aspect of das through the whole thing. She knows from the beginning that this whole thing is good, right? Even though in the middle of it, she's struggling and it's painful and it's hard and the blood is leaving the legs and it's going, right? And it's pressure and it's pain and all this stuff, so I'm told, right? But she does it, and she goes through it willfully. Why? Because she has das. She knows that this is something that's going to lead to a new birth. This is something that's going to lead to a new existence, a new neshama, a new growth. Something's coming out of this. And she knows this from the beginning. Rabbi Nachman is telling us that this is where we want to be. She is the example for us lowly men, right? That she is the example to tell us, guys, you got to know from the beginning that the challenges you're going through are something amazing is going to come from them. This is what she's telling us. This is what Rabbi Nachman's telling us through the ladies over here. Right? And so this is what happens. The blood, the she experiences difficulty, her yakuseya mitstananis, the legs get cold because the blood is all being used to push out the baby. And then in the end, it goes back to, once again, choizrin taluch zedvam keseder, the blood goes back to its regular flow, and she's very thankful, Baruch Hashem, but she knew all along that it was important and that it was good and something is going to come from this. Right? She knew very clearly. So Mizmor Lasoida, we said the psalm that David HaMelech wrote of thankfulness, Mizmor L'toda Lasoida, is the same letters as L'toda, is the same letters as Tolada, the same letters as birth. It's the same thing. When we're thankful, then we why are we thankful? Even during the tsar, even during the difficulty, because we know there's going to be a birth. We know that something's going to come from this. That's pshat. And of course, Haril Hashem Chalaretz. Okay, good. And that's where we find ourselves now. I'm sure we missed a few things, but that's where we're at now. So we're now on letter Dalet, which is in the BRI book on page 116. And let's go. Let's get to where we need to go. U'keshezoichin lebechinas toida halacha. When we merit to get into this headspace, I want to say, this existence of toida halacha, of gratitude and halacha, when we merit to get into this space, then al yedeze nisgale or ha'emes u'me'ir behadibur. Then the light of truth is revealed and it illuminates our speech. So, in other words, when we do this, when we behave like this, when we get into this pattern, something changes in us. And something, notice the words he uses, that the Or HaEmes is Nizgale, is revealed to us. Once again, this is Chacham and Tam talk right over here, right? The Tam knows that it's not, he didn't figure it out. He didn't use his brains and his fancy shoes to figure this out. Rather, he became a vessel. He became a person of gratitude, a person who's thankful, connected to Hashem all the time, thanking Hashem, thinking about Hashem. Das, toida, halach. He became this person. Now he's become something different. Something's changed with this person, and now there's a new revelation. Something's revealed to that person. What's revealed is the Or HaEmes. Happens to be the name of a Jewish school here in Toronto, Or HaEmet, but Sephardi school. But the light of truth is revealed, and then that truth, that Or HaEmes, is going to be revealed in the speech of the person. Revealed in the speech of the person. Okay, let's keep going a little bit further. Ki mitzchila kishahadamim shoytfin al alev hu bechiras pegam emes. Because in the beginning, when the blood is flooding the person's heart, that is called a blemish in truth. It's called a blemish in truth. Why? What's going on over there? So remember that paragraph was the Chas V'Shalom paragraph. So when we get into a tribulation and the blood is flooding the heart and it's in that place where we don't have an answer and we are stressed and we're worried and Rabbi Nachman kept saying Chas V'Shalom, right? That's a place. Why is it a pagam emes? Why is it a blemish in truth? Any ideas? I'm really asking. Doubt and worry, right? It means that I'm not there. I don't see Hashem. I don't believe that Hashem's here. I don't believe God's taking care of me. I don't believe this is for me.
That's emuna, then.
It's emuna for sure. I don't have emuna. I don't have das. I don't have so the ultimate truth, really, the ultimate emes, is that everything is Hashem. So when I don't have that truth, when I'm scared and I'm worried and I think that stuff's going on that is beyond Hashem's control, God forbid, right? So that's a blemish in emes. It's a pagam in emes, right? As soon as I feel like Hashem's not with me, I've lost my connection to truth, to emes, right? That's how I understand it. Anyway, that's the Pagam Emes. Bechinas, Anshe Damim Yisna'u Tam. So, Anshe Damim, usually we translate as bloodthirsty men, right? Yisna'u Tam. They hate innocence. So you can think about this and you can put it into a regular case, you know, bad, murderous people, right? The people of innocence are like, drive them crazy, right? Good innocent people. It's not, it's something that they can't take. However, who is called Tam in the Torah is Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu is called Ish Tam Yoshev Oyelim. It's called a simple person, but a pure, simple person who dwelled in tents and learned Torah all the time. He's called a person of Tam. And we'll explain something else in a minute. Let's go a little farther. But afterwards, when we get out of the tribulation, and we're in this aspect of toida halacha, of being thankful and being in this place of gratitude and das and knowing Hashem, azai mehira emes, then the truth illuminates and lights me up. Right? So the pasuk says in Micha, and we say this in our tefillas also, titein emes liyakov. Yaakov, Hashem gives truth to Yaakov and chesed to Avram Avinu. So Yaakov Avinu is the person of Emes. Just like we said, Yaakov Avinu is the Ish Tam. He's the person of Tam. So Tam really has a connotation of truth. Ish Tam, and he's also called Titen Emes Yaakov. He's called the person of Emes, Yaakov. The Midah of Emes. So let's talk about this a little bit. Yaakov Avinu is called the person with the Midah of Emes, and the Midah of Yaakov Avinu is also the Midah of Tiferes, right? And if we know a little bit of Kabbalah, then we know that we have Chesed and Gevura are the two spheres of the top two spheres of the lower seven spheres. And in the middle, Chesed is kindness, Chesed is a flow, Gevura is restraint, is the opposite. And Tiferes, smack in the middle, is a balance of those two, in the most simple way. So it's a balance. It's not full-on Chesed, which is not always right. It's not full-on Gevura, which is not always right. Rather, it's the two of them together in the right balance. There's an aspect of that which speaks to the concept of truth as well. It's not too much of this, too much of that. It's exactly what it should be, right? It's exactly where it's supposed to be. So this is Yaakov Avinu, the Midah of Tiferes, and the Midah of Truth. So let's step back for a bit. So this Anshei Damim Yisnu Tam, I think it's a Medrash over there, I can't remember exactly, says that this pasuk, this verse, is referring to the Anshei Damim, the people, the bloodthirsty people, or people of blood, is referring to two people in the Torah who are connected to this concept of blood. The two people are Esav and Yishmael. So Rav Nosson brings this over. And so Esav, first of all, when he was born, he came out red, right? And that signifies a hisgabrus adinim, an overpowering sense of din, of strict judgment, right? And he was, one of the most... The strongest aspect of Gevura in the sense of judgment and strength is in a negative way, is when you control a person. Use absolute control over somebody. Right? And what's the biggest way that you can have control over a person in the most possible, strongest way? Is by killing them. Right? You've murdered them, you've completely, you don't like them, you don't like what they're doing. They're gone, done, right? So it's an aspect of this Midah in a very, very powerful, negative way. That's Esav. And Esav was a murderer, right? And he wanted to kill Yaakov, and he was out there You know, when it, the Torah, the Medrash says that, and when the Torah says that he was an ish sadeh, that he would go out into the field and he was a hunter, right? So on the one hand, he did those things, but on the other hand, he was out being a murderer. He was a killer. Yishmael is the other one. Yishmael, so when Avram Avinu had children, he had Yitzchak and Yishmael. He had one good apple and one not so good apple, right? And when Yitzchak had children, he had Yaakov, good apple, and Esav, not so good apple, right? And both of them. So it says that the Torah says that by Yishmael, that he was mesachik, he was playing with Yitzchak all the time. And Rashi tells us from the Medrash over there that his idea of playing was that Yaakov would run and he would shoot arrows at him and try to kill him. Right? He was also a murderer. He also wanted to kill Yitzchak. These two are the Anshei Damim. These two are the bloodthirsty people. Yisne'u Tam. And what do they hate? They hate the concept of Yaakov Avinu. They hate the concept of truth, of Yaakov, of innocence, of goodness. Right? Yaakov Avinu, of course, is the one who, he didn't have this. Right? Avram Avinu had good apple, bad apple. Yitzchak had good apple, bad apple. One of the defining characteristics of Yaakov Avinu is that he had 12 tzaddikim. He had what we call a mita shlema, a perfect bed, a perfect set of offspring. He didn't, all that stuff was done with. He represents the perfection and absolute truth. Absolute truth. So this is Yaakov Avinu that we have over here. And Yaakov Avinu, so just like in our Torah now, when the blood is flooding and we don't have Das of Hashem, so therefore we don't have Emes, right? That corresponds to Yishmael and Esav, the side of Sheker, side of falsehood, the side of negativity, of murder. And so what's the tikkun to that? Of course, is the side of Emes, the side of truth, the Tam, which is the side of Yaakov Avinu. Emes is the other side of that. So when, Rabbi Nachman's telling us now, when we get into this headspace, this is going to get good now soon, when we get into this headspace of Toida, thank you Hashem, gratitude, and Halacha, the further spreading of gratitude, and then we get into a space of das where we're with Hashem all the time. Halacha, we're living with Hashem and we're thinking about Hashem in every place. Yeah? Then we automatically become the opposite of those bad guys. We become people of Emes. Emes illuminates within us. Truth. Truth. Teach Emes Yaakov, Chesed Avram. Chesed Avram, Hainu Halachas. So, as we said before, Chesed is connected to Halachas. Right? That was in Sif Beis, and Ayedezeh Meir Emes Umashim Hadibur. So it's through Avram and Yaakov. Titen Emes LeYaakov Chesed LaAvram. Through the Chesed Halachas, Hoida, thankfulness, everything associated with Avram. Through practicing that, we will come to Titen Emes LeYaakov. We'll come to the truth of Yaakov. Ayedezeh Meir HaEmes Umashim Hadibur. And through that, the truth will illuminate and will perfect and complete our speech. Ki ikur shlemus hadibur ayidei emes. Because the main completion and perfection of our speech is through emes, is through truth. Ki kushta kai, the Gemara says, is Aramaic. Kushta kai means truth stands. So I'm sure we've all heard this before, but this is on this Gemara. The Mefarshim say that emes, Kushtakai, truth stands. If you look at the word emes, emes is strong. Emes, we're going into my own thoughts now, by the way. Just, I know I always like to say this, but I'm not claiming that this is Rabbi Nachman's word. This is my understanding of this over here, okay? Of Rabbi Nachman. So Kushtakai, truth stands. Emes, the word emes, it's grounded, it's strong, and it's like confident. Why? Because all of the three letters of the word emes, they all have a strong bottom. The word, the letter aleph, the first one, has two strong feet, right? So it stands strong. The second letter, mem, also has a full, you know, it goes like this on the bottom. it's completely, and it has two legs coming down. It's very strong, very grounded, and it's not tipping over. It's strong. And the last letter is Taf, right? MS, which has Taf or Saf, which has two legs, also standing strong. It's strong, it's stable, it's powerful. Truth is stable. Truth is strong. Truth is secure and powerful. Masha'en ken, sheker, right? Sheker, which is lies and falsehood, the opposite of truth.
Mastur.
What?
I always call it, when you ever say it, I say mastur when someone's drunk. Or...
No, a different time. No, no, no.
I know.
Different sheker. That's shikur with a chaf. This is sheker, not drunk. This is sheker with a kuf. Yeah, it means lies, falsehood. So the shin, if you look at the letter shin, right? So it has, it's like this, with a thing in the middle, three things, but it's pointed at the bottom. It's rocking back and forth. It doesn't have a strong bottom, right? Then the second letter is kuf, which is like this, with a leg down, one leg. It's not strong. Try standing on one leg. How long can you do it for?
15 seconds.
Everybody test right now. No, I'm just kidding. How long do you stand on one leg for? Not so long. That's kuf. And then resh also only has one leg, right? And it's heavy on one side. It's mamash for sure falling over, right? So all the letters of sheker, the letters of emes are strong and stable. The letters of sheker are weak and wobbly, right? So kushtakai, truth stands. So let's speak about this. This is one of the main things I want to speak about today. There's a lot here. It's very complicated Torah. It's very hard. So we're just going to pull out a few things here and there to do our best.
Can I say something about truth?
Sure.
So truth is also, emet is totality, and it really is God, because aleph is the first letter, taf is the last, and then is the middle. So it's beginning, middle, and end.
100%. 100%. There's something so good to that we're holding on to for 1 minute. So Vera just said something very good. Remind me about that in a few minutes, because there's an important way that it connects to this Torah also. Beautiful. So MS, truth, kushtakai. So there's a way that I understand this. I'm sorry if it's not the way that everybody else relates to it, but it's so strong to me, this understanding of MS. I told these guys already this before, but when you're a person who's a person of sheker, who's a person of lies, not a truthful person, right? So how does your speech go? How does your spoken interactions with other people go? A person who's not a truthful person never knows. They're making stories up on the fly all the time, right? Like I'm trying to, I have to, and so, someone says something that challenges a lie that I'm saying. So I have to catch myself and I have to reinvent the lie as I'm going. I'm making up a story. When I'm talking to somebody, I don't know. They tell me something I said. Maybe I said it. Was it true? Did I really say that? And then I have to keep going. I have to keep making up the lie, right? Right. Think of all the terrible people in the world that we like to talk about today. Think about the concept of like gaslighting, right? When you're like, I know people like to use these words nowadays, but it's a real thing. And you're using falsehood, lies all the time to make someone else think that they are the problem, right? And so, but it's not true. So you have to keep building the lie and building it and building it. And you're building and if you keep building a bunch of lies, they're not standing on anything strong. Eventually, it's going to topple, it's going to fall, and you're going to have to just figure out to make up another lie to get it together. Either you keep going, right? If you're really a serious narcissist, you keep going. I'm using all those words, I know. Then you really keep going and you keep lying and you keep going, you keep, right? Right? And you keep building it. Or it's just going to crumble at some point and you're going to be caught as the liar that you are.
Busted.
Busted. However, right? A person of truth. If this is what I do, and this is personally, I have a policy like this that I try to adhere to very strongly. Because, you know, when I was a kid, when I was younger, I lied to get out of this, lied to get out of that. And, you know, people do these kinds of things. But at a certain point, I made this a policy for myself that it's not worth it. It's not worth it. Right? Speak truth all the time. And then you're never shaky. You're never on shaky ground. You never have to try to get yourself out of something. If you said something, and that means it was true. Even if it's upsetting somebody, okay, so you know what that means? I have to step up and be strong, and I have to deal with it. But it's the truth. Right? And when I speak the truth, I'm secure. I'm strong. I'm powerful. Confident. Kushta kai. Truth stands. That's the way, one of the ways that I understand this aspect of the word emes, truth. That it's strong and it stands. I want to just stress though, you know, that doesn't mean that I always must speak something just because it's true. That's not what I'm saying at all. There's many times where people get into this way of thinking and they decide that they have to say everything over. And what? It's the truth. I have to share it with you. I have to tell you. You know, and people will come and they'll be like, you know, I just don't want to hold this in anymore. I feel like I have to tell you. You just sometimes don't say it. Sometimes you don't have to share what your mishigas is with some other person just because you believe it to be true, right? But when you do speak, and it's important, and when you need to speak, it should be truth. It should be strong. And I never have to worry. I never have to go back. I never have to worry about someone coming back to me saying, "Oh, but you said this. Didn't you say this?" Okay, yeah, I said that. And now, but I know I said it. And because it's truth, I only speak truth. Kushta kai. What do you think? It's a little bit outside of the page here. But right? And I'm telling you, it's not, it's mamish, like, it's really not worth it. Why do you want to be in that situation where somebody, you meet somebody and you have to work it out. Does this person know the real thing or not the real thing? Does this, right? It's shaky, it's uncomfortable. It's not a good place to be. And the most importantly is it's far away from Hashem. It's far away from Hashem. It's far away from God. Because you're living in a fantasy world. Right? And like we said, it's the when we get into that state of being, it's that state of being stressed, being breathing heavy, right? Heart pounding. I'm in a difficult place. Right? If you're a person of emes, you don't have to be there. And these two things go together. The way that I speak, right, in that way, puts me in a space of security. And also, when I'm a person of toida, halacha, das, emuna, then when I'm experiencing a tzara, I'm also more even keeled. Why? Because I know the truth, that everything's Hashem, and that this thing for me is really meant for me, and it's really going to be good. It's really going to be a birth. It's going to be something awesome. So I maintain the same equilibrium in that case, and then he's saying now it's going to affect me to such a way that now I'm going to speak differently. My speech is going to be strong, is going to be truth, is going to be stable and secure and amazing, right? This is how it all flows together. Because if I really, you know, it's the other thing. Did you ever, in the beginning of the Shulchan Aruch, when it talks about the different halachas, we're learning halacha again here, about how a person is supposed to behave, right, in their, and how a person dresses themselves in the morning. And how do you behave when you're in your, what's called chadre chadorim, when you're in your own private chambers, and how do you behave when you're outside with other people around, right? And so it says over there that people behave differently when they're in their own private place to when they're outside with all the other people. Right? So, what's the story? Why do we do that? Because it shows, if we do that, it shows that we don't really believe Hashem's there. Because if we really believed Hashem is there, there's halachas when you're waking up in the morning, that like it says that when you're getting, people used to sleep with either they didn't have clothing on, or they wore like one long garment, right? So the halacha says that when a person gets up in the morning, they should put their garments over themselves and then stand up in a way so that their body is covered all the time. Even if they're alone. We're talking in your own private house. This is how a person should get up. So, well, it sounds a little bit crazy. I said, it's my bedroom. I could walk around however I want. Right? Nobody's watching. Oh, you just hit it on the head. You think nobody's watching. You think nobody else is there with you. Right? But if you know, if you're with Hashem all the time, every moment, then you're gonna be careful the way you dress. And you know what else is gonna be? You're gonna be so careful the way you talk. Because Hashem's right here. How could you tell a lie with the guy standing right beside you who's gonna call you out? Right? You can't lie in front of Hashem. So if you're living with Hashem, if you're really that person, then that's how you're gonna speak. It's gonna affect you in such a way that your speech is gonna be so strong and powerful and authentic. Not to mention, I'm sorry this is turning into a rant, I apologize. But you know what else is a big problem with this? Is that if I don't deal in truth, and I don't live in truth, and I don't speak in truth, I'm missing all of my opportunities to grow. I'm missing all of the things that Hashem's giving me. Everything is a message. Everything is an opportunity for me to chop it and use it in a way to grow closer to Hashem. And as soon as I lie, I miss the chance. Right? I'm pretending like it's not exist. I'm pretending it doesn't exist. I'm writing it. Hashem's writing me a story. He's writing the story of my life, and he's telling me, this is where you got to go. This is for you. This is for you. This is for you. And you take out the eraser, and you say, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to write a new story, and I'm going to change it. It's going to be different. We're missing the messages. We're not living in truth at all. It makes no sense. So as long as we believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we believe that he's there with us and everything comes from him, then we're gonna behave in this way. I think that's the end of the rant. So it's particularly in speech. So he says, Afilu Sheker. Ein lo kium rak al yedei emes. Even falsehood, even lies, it doesn't have any type of kium. It doesn't have any existence on its own, except through truth. What does that mean? Right? You heard before the saying, every good lie has a kernel of truth. Right? I don't know if it's a good lie, but I think it's every good lie. Every good lie has a kernel of truth. Right? So Kamosha Pirish Rashi, Al Pasuk, Vagam Zavas Chalav Dvash. Like Rashi explains, so when the spies, the Meraglim, went into Eretz Yisrael, so what did they do? They made up a whole report that was sheker, that was lies, in order to convince everybody not to go into Eretz Yisrael. But they said one other thing though. They said, Vagam Zavas Chalav Dvash. They said, you know what? It is a land flowing with milk and honey, like we were told, but then they said but, and then they let all the lies go first, because pointing out, in other words, that you need to have that basis of truth in order to build the lie. You need to have truth to start from. Even truth is important, and even lies need a little bit of truth for their own existence, right? Nimtza she'ikar kiyum v'shleimus hadibur hu al yedei ha'emes. So it comes out that we see over here that the main kium, the main sustaining and perfection of speech is through truth. Shehu me'er behadibur, that when the truth illuminates within my speech. Okay. So the last thing we'll say is that how does a person have illuminated speech? How can a person speak in a way that is effective, that is confident, that people listen to, that goes into the people that they're speaking to, right? So it comes from the same place. If I have that stability, that strength, and that emuna, and that confidence in what I'm saying, now I give it over in a different way, right? I'm saying truth. We're reading Rabbi Nachman here. It's pretty easy, mm-hmm. Right? But I'm saying truth. So it comes out differently. It comes out illuminated. It comes out illuminated, which is important. Okay, good. So we'll, what time are we at here? Okay, we keep going. V'vechinas, so now, everybody following now, through living the life of Toida, Halacha, Das, I'm throwing in Emuna, and right, through all of these things, and being Halacha, constantly with Hashem, being aware of Hashem all the time, through living like that, then my speech is going to be illuminated. and I'm going to live in this realm, right? And that's where we are. So how is it going to come to me now? How am I going to see this happen? Bevechinas, sorry, says now, al yedei shehu meir behadibur al yedei shloisha shemos. So this truth is going to illuminate my speech through these three names of Hashem. The three names of Hashem are Bevechinas, Kel, Aleph Lamed, Elohim, Hashem, Diber. Kel, Elohim, Hashem, Diber, say, the Pasuk in Tehillim says. So those three names of Hashem, Kel, Elohim, Hashem. Ke'elu, Shleisha Shemais, Heim, Makor, Ha'emes. These three names are the root of truth. Val Yadam, Me'ir, Ha'emes, Ba'adibur. And through them, the truth will be illuminated within the speech. Dehainu, Biribua, Ha'adibur. And which is going to be in the four faceted nature of speech. We haven't talked about this yet. Just stay with me. Haina bechinas arba chalkei hadibur, into the four aspects of our speech. So in other words, there's three names of Hashem, which we're going to see later on what they represent and how that helps to perfect my speech. But before we do that, for some reason, Rabbi Nachman makes a break and starts with the four aspects of speech. So we're going to say four different types of speech over here that he's going to give us over. And the way that I understand them, you'll help me get through this. He's going to explain what it is with Psukim, proving what his point is. But the way I understand it is that these four places, once again, this is me. This is not necessarily Rabbi Nachman. This is the way I understand it because it's hard to understand. Is that these four types of speech are places where there's a particular ability to move into Sheker, to not be truthful. There's a particular pull and an ability to not be truthful. And on the other hand, when we speak with truth within those four aspects, it creates something amazing. Okay? So let's see what it is. Just before we go on, I wanted to remember, so Vered said about MS, about truth, that it's the three letters of MS, of truth, are the first, middle, and last letter of the Aleph Beis, yeah. Right? So, and said Vered that's it's all encompassing. It's oneness. It's, I can't remember the word she used, meant. Yeah. Totality. It's totality. It's all encompassing. So that is a particular important point of this Torah itself. And specifically in the very last paragraph of this Torah, it comes out in a very explosive way, a very amazing way. But the whole thing we're saying over here, right now, what's different about the lady giving birth is that she knows, she has das even in the middle of the tzara, not just at the end when everything gets fixed. That's not the only time when she understands that something is happening over here. But even in the middle of the tzara itself, throughout the whole thing, throughout the totality of the experience, she has das. She knows what's going on. She knows that something's happening. Something amazing is happening, right? That's another way that MS relates specifically to the concepts of this Torah in a beautiful way. Okay, let's go. Ribua hadibur. Ki yesh ribua hadibur. There is a ribua hadibur. So first of all, this has to be some type of amazing Rabbi Nachman Chiddush. I don't know if we see this anywhere else in the universe. Ribua hadibur. It's also not like if you wanted to say there's four parts of speech, you'd say like we said before, arba chelke hadibur. But here, ribua hadibur, ribua really means like square, right? It's the square of speech. I don't quite yet have figured out what it really means. So we'll see. We'll have to see.
Totality,
but with relation to the four parts of speech here, so we'll see, but let's see what they are. Yesh ribu adibur, v'alkein kishahayu Yisrael begalus, v'hayadibur begalus. So when Yisrael was in galus, when we are in exile, dibur is also in exile. Ne'emar b'Moshe, it says by Moshe Rabbeinu, loy ish devarim anoichi gam mitmol gam mishilshoim. Gam me'az dabercha, Eli. Moshe Rabbeinu said, "I am not a man of words. not yesterday, not the day before, and not from when you first spoke to me. This is what Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem. Hashem is trying to get Moshe Rabbeinu to be the leader. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, I can't speak. Right? And he had what? He had a speech impediment. He had a stutter. He really couldn't speak. Right? What's the story, though? Why? The Torah doesn't just make these things up for no reason, right? Nachman is telling us that when we are in Galus, in exile, also the power of Dibor is in Galus. The power of speech is in Galus. So the person who's meant to be the channel from Hashem to us, the leader, right? When we're in Mitzrayim and we're in that place of klipa and difficulty, speech is in Galus, so our leader can't speak. Right? This is the story. So this is why he said, I'm not a man of speech. And he said it in four ways. Loi ish devar manaychi, gam mitmol, gam mishol shoyim, gam me'az demercha. He said it in four, he said a very unusual sentence. Right? Anybody ever think of that? That's what he says. I'm not a man of words. That's enough already. Okay, you said your piece, Moshe Rabbeinu. That's not what he says. He says, I'm not a man of words, not yesterday, not the day before, not from the first time he spoke to me. He says it in four portions, right? So what's the story? Zebechinas ribu adibur. This is the aspect of the fourfold nature of speech. Arba chelke adibur. The four parts of speech. Let's see now. What are the four parts of speech? Ki yesh dibur shel tzedakah. The first one is, there's a dibur, a speech of tzedakah, of charity. Zebechinas medaber b'tzedakah. So the pasuk in Yeshaya says, puts these words together. Medaber b'tzedakah. Shezehu b'chinas ha-yisro. One second. So this is an aspect of... One second. Yeah. One second. So Yeshaya is talking about how the enemies of Klal Yisrael are going to fall. And the pasuk says, who is this coming from Edom? In bloodstained clothing from Basra, it is I, Hashem, medaber b'tzedakah, who speaks with charity, who has the power to save. This is what, and the Metzudas David says over there, that speaks with tzedakah, that refers to Hashem's promise that he's going to behave with us in a good way. He's going to do tzedakah with us. But the pasuk over there connects dibur and tzedakah, right? Medaber b'tzedakah. Let's get back to mine over here now. This speaks to the one aspect that man has over the animal kingdom, over the rest of the living world. Right? Yeah, so you have these four categories of existence, which are called Doimem, Tzomeach, Chai, and Medaber. And in English, those are inanimate objects, like rocks. Right? Then you have tzemeach, which are sprouting things, plants. Chai, which is like animal life. And what's the next one up? What should it be called? Not what it is called. I don't know. What should be maybe intellect, something like this? What do we have that's different? But that's not what it's called. The description that's given to humanity in this is medaber, our ability to speak. That's what separates us, man from beast. Right? So, but what kind of speech? What kind of speech is it that separates us from the beast? Is Rabbi Nachman telling us is the dibur shel tzedakah, the dibur shel tzedakah, shu geder ha'adam. This is what represents the definition, really, of a person, of a man, of a person, mankind. Shu bechinas tzedakah, which is an aspect of tzedakah. Why? Shu goymel chesed im abrios, because a person has this within their ability, within their nature, within their free will at least, to do good, to do kindnesses, to be a person of kindness with the rest of the creation. Shezeh geder ha'adam shedarkoi lugmol chesed. This is the way of a human, which is to do chesed. That's the way of a person, is to do chesed. Mashen kenachai, not like animals. Animals don't do chesed. So you have this inyan that you know, I mean, you could think about it. What do they say about the animal kingdom? That it's what's the word? There's a saying.
Instinct?
No, like something like, you know, what they say also, a saying, it's a dog eat dog world, right? So the survival of the fittest, right? So an animal's nature and instinct is to survive, and they do that at the expense of whatever they need to do that at the expense of. Yeah? Generally speaking. Yeah, you got the whole food chain and the whole thing, right? And so by us, though, by man, right, we sometimes, people do crazy things, and they sometimes give away when they don't even have enough for themselves, right? They'll give up their own life in order to save someone else. They'll give up their own money in order to help somebody else out. A person will go, they have to be a good person, obviously, but maybe will go a little bit hungry, won't have everything they need in order to help out another person. Yeah? This is what separates us. This is one of the aspects of our speech. And we can use it, dibur, when it comes to tzedakah in a different way. Let's read a little bit more still about tzedakah. V'zeh shekasev naseh adam, v'kasiv sham ha'isha sher asisi imoy hayoyim, Ma'ahasam tzedakah afkan tzedakah. Another proof, which is an interesting proof over here. And really, there's a lot to uncover over here. I'll just tell you, I think I said this in the beginning. This lesson in Likutei Moran is the hardest lesson I've ever learned in Likutei Moran. And it's very, very, very dense. Every single few words is something that we could spend an hour on. It's insane. So we're trying to pull out something that we can take home from this. But every little bit is so dense. But here, this is what he's saying over here. He's giving us a new proof. Why is he giving us a new proof? It has to tell us something new. So when Adam Arishan was created, the Torah says, "Nase Adam, betzalmenu kidmusenu." Let us make man in our image, says Hashem, right? And also, there's another. The Zohar Kodesh says this. There's another place where it uses the word, the same word of to make, ose, to make or to do, which is by Megillas Ruth, right? Three pronunciations. How do you like that? Rus, Ruth, Ruth, right? So over there it says V'shem ha'ish asher asisi imay hayom, the name of the man that I did with him today. So what's the story over there? Is that so? In Megillas Ruth, if you remember, when she first came back with Naomi, and she went into the field of Boaz to collect. And there's a mitzvah called leket, which is if the owner of the field forgets some, or drops some stalks of wheat in the field, then he has to leave it for the poor people to take. He can't go and get it back. You got to leave it for the poor people. It's a form of tzedakah, right? And so he left a lot extra for her on purpose, right, to take care of her. But when she came back to Naomi, and Naomi saw, whoa, where did you get all this wheat from? She said this lashon, v'shem ha'ish asher asisi imoy hayoyim. Use the same word, ose, the name of the man that I did this with today. Like, let's translate it. Just and the I thought it was a Gemara, but Darshan's over there. Just like there, the word ose is used for tzedakah. So too, in the creation of man, it's an aspect of tzedakah, of Hashem creating us. So, one of the things that's learned out over there is because she is like making him. Rus is making him. Shem ha'ish asher asisi imai. The name of the man, like if you pause it there, Shem ha'ish asher asisi, the name of the man that I made. Why is she making the man, right? So the drush over there is that just as much as when someone gives something to a poor person, it helps to build them up, even more so, the poor person giving them the opportunity to give to them builds them up even more. Mm-hmm. Right? Meaning the giving of tzedakah is a privilege, really. And it's called an asiyah. The person is becoming something when they give tzedakah. Ma'asim tzedakah avkan tzedakah. Shayidit tzedakah nikra adam. And that first pasuk is talking about the creation of man. So just like when man was created, the whole distinction, the whole nature of man is this word of oise, and we learn from Megillas Rus that word means tzedakah. it's this aspect of tzedakah that's the nature of man. That's why we're created. That's why we're different from the rest of the world, because of this aspect of tzedakah. Ki tzedakah shemisham hadibur hu geder ha'adam, because tzedakah, that from there comes this aspect of dibur, is really the geder of humanity, the definition of being a human. And this is the first thing that Moshe Rabbeinu said. Of the four aspects of his sentence, the first one, he says, Lo ish devarim anochi, I'm not a man of words. Hainu hadibur shel tzedakah, I'm not a man of this dibur of tzedakah. Because tzedakah speech was in gullus. He didn't have the ability to speak properly. He said, I'm missing this. This is the first aspect of speech that I'm missing. This is why, Hashem, you can't choose me to be the leader. I have not mastered. I don't have this aspect of speech, of truth, channeled through my speech of tzedakah. Bechinas toiv ish chaynein umalve yichal kal dvarav. Hainu gimos chesed tzedakah. Another pasuk he brings, that a person of good, who graciously gives and loans, he will have properly prepared speech. His speech will be good. Hainu gimos chesed. It's the guy who does chesed that has such speech. So, having said all that, how is speech connected to, how is truth and speech connected to tzedakah? Or in my way of understanding it, which you can go along with me if you want, or you can find your own way, right? Where does it represent an opportunity to not be a person of truth, to not speak truth, right? You have something?
Maybe give it for all.
Oh, very good. Yeah, that's a good one.
So you want the accolade?
Yeah. So tzedakah. So Sandra's saying that tzedakah represents something that can really teeter on emes and sheker. Because a person can give tzedakah because they really want to help a person, or they can give tzedakah because they want their name on the building, right? Or they want everybody to see. That's one aspect for sure. But in speech also, first of all, in speech of tzedakah, there's going to be a couple ways here. Speech of tzedakah, right? Someone comes to you asking for financial help, right? So how do you speak to them? When you are the person giving the tzedakah, you have a position of power over them, for better or for worse, right? And that position of power comes with a tremendous opportunity, but it comes with an opportunity, and it's like a slippery slope, a tremendous temptation to use your speech to show how you're over them. They talk, oh, you want me to give you money? Well, why do you deserve my money? Maybe I won't give you money, but maybe I'll just tell you what I think is wrong with you, so then you can fix it, and then you don't need my money. Right, like imagine all of the dibur that can come out in a bad way, in that position, right? It's very tempting, or to get out of giving money, right? Oh, I gave it the office already, it happened before. Someone came to my door here. I felt so bad. I didn't have any more checks to write a check. I didn't have cash. I didn't have any more checks, and I just said to them, "I'm sorry, I don't have any more checks." And I'm thinking to myself, no way he believes me. They probably think, because you could say this. You could say, sorry, I don't have any checks. I don't have any money on me.
Have to give to everyone?
That's a different story. But we'll get to that in a minute. But at least we see where are we going over here, right? That it's a real temptation. There's a huge temptation to lie, to not be a person of truth over here, right? The other aspect that we thought about, which I think is very special, is that the whole nature of speech itself. What? This is cool. This is really awesome. What is speech? Why do we need to speak?
Form of communication.
We need to speak.
Pray to Hashem.
Why do we need to speak? We need to speak because we need to connect with another person. Right? If I want to live as a selfish person and I don't want to have contact with anybody, if it's just about me, I don't need speech. The very nature of speech itself is that I'm going outside of myself to connect with another person. Even if I'm a terrible person and I'm an egotistical whatever, right? I still am using speech to in concept. I'm getting out from selfishness and connecting with somebody else. The whole nature of speech itself is an aspect of leaving self and going towards somebody else and connecting, giving of myself to someone else. So there's, within the nature of speech itself, there's an aspect of tzedakah, of giving from myself to someone else. So all these things, there's a lot more we could say. But we have to stop here because we're at an hour. But this is the first aspect of speech, and we're going to have three more. And they are, I think, the next one is the speech of tshuva. And we'll see that this one, they all have tremendous temptations like this. But this is the first one. So what do we do at the end? We remember that when we work to become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we do it through gratitude, through thankfulness, through das, right, through halacha, through all these things that we do, it affects us. And it changes us. It makes us into people who are closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that changes us and turns us into people of truth. And then it's going to come out in our speech. And we're going to speak differently because we're living with Hashem every moment. Like we always say, that one of the principles of learning Rabbi Nachman's Torah is that we will not understand it properly if we don't, I know I say this every time, but it's good to say, if we don't put the advice into practice, if we don't walk the walk. So let's this week think about, where is my speech going to a place that's outside of truth, even if it's just veering off a little bit, right? Where am I using my speech in a way that is turning me into not an Adam, not a human? Where am I using my speech like an animal? It could be that I'm yelling and screaming and angry. It could be that I'm being selfish and telling people something so that I don't have to give them money. It could be any one of these things, right? But there's a way that I can use my speech that puts me into the realm of Gemilus Chesed, which is the reason why we are different than animals. There's a way to speak. So let's think about this week, together with being thankful, having gratitude, and learning halacha and keeping halacha. Let's now add that we're gonna think about our speech, and we're gonna try to speak truth and be people of integrity, and chesed and kindness and tzedakah in the way that we act and in the way that we speak. Mitzvah Hashem also.